The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at tntradio.live. The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk Radio. TNT.
Well, it wasn't a good day for those who hate President Trump. Hasn't been a good week. Earlier in the week, we had a federal judge refuse to certify the class. See, when you have a class action lawsuit, the class needs to be certified, and the class are all the defendants who've been injured. And this was the case that was brought against Donald Trump's multi-level marketing program. And it was brought by the same wacko, Attorney Kaplan, who represented E. Jean Carroll in her absurd rape claim against Donald Trump. And then the subsequent defamation claim when Trump called her crazy. Well, that shouldn't have ended the way it did, because in a defamation suit, truth is an absolute defense. And E. Jean Carroll is demonstrably crazy. But the judge failed to certify the class. He refused to certify the class. He didn't fail. He refused to certify the class. He said, no, this isn't, there isn't a common bond between these people. There hasn't been a sufficient injury shown. So that case tossed. A lot of cases against the president have been tossed. And the ones that haven't been tossed haven't been going so well. Even though the judges keep ruling in favor of the prosecutors, it's getting harder and harder to do. And the judges have been exposing themselves to sanctions, to even in one case, removal from the bench, because what's being done is not only unethical, it's illegal. There are laws that govern how justices need to comport themselves, what the limits of their power are in court. You know, our courts might be run by as fiefdoms, but they're not supposed to be. So let's hope there's some judicial reckoning coming for the judges in these cases. Jack Smith got slapped down by the federal judge in Florida this week, who wanted Donald Trump and his team to have to schlep all the way to Washington, D.C. to look at confidential documents that are subject to the case in a SCIF, a secure classified information facility. And the judge said, no, got to do it within this judicial district, got to do it in South Florida. So this lawfare harassment of the president, it's not really going so well for the people that are abusing the law. Another case today made big headlines. Sidney Powell pleads guilty in election interference case. Well, technically, yes. But did she plead guilty to what she was charged with? No. She was charged with six felonies. She pled guilty. She did it in order to dispose of the case to avoid incurring additional legal expenses. She pled guilty to a misdemeanor. And she's got a $6,000 fine, and she has to write a letter of apology. Yeah, that's going to be heartfelt. It's not going well for these people at all. And there's people out there, and I understand the feeling that, you know, Sidney was supposed to be a fighter, and she should have stayed in the fight and been completely exonerated. Yeah, I get that. But at what price? When you're looking at additional millions of dollars of legal fees on a bogus case that was brought for lawfare purposes, live to fight another day. There's better uses for that money. You know, plead out to the misdemeanor and write your trite little insincere letter of apology with both, you know, your fingers crossed behind your back, and pay $6,000, which to her is a rounding error, and go on and do better, bigger and better things, knowing at the end of the day that ultimately that case will probably be expunged from her record. So to all the people that are upset with Sidney for taking the plea agreement, understand why she did it. And it actually is, when you're dealing with a corrupt system, you cannot play by the same rules as you would play by in a fair system where there's equal justice under the law. No, when you're dealing with a corrupt system, you have to adopt different tactics. And if a tactic is taking a plea agreement to get out of it, that's what you do. In fact, that's the Department of Justice's raison d'etre right there. None of these cases go to court. I think only about 4% of federal indictments result in a trial, because in 96%, they get a plea agreement, and that's their plan. They overcharge intentionally, because there's nothing scarier than seeing United States v. your name here. So they overcharge you. They simultaneously freeze your assets, so you can't hire an attorney, and put you in jail in some instances. They bust down your door, even if you live at Mar-a-Lago, and even if the statute you're supposedly violated is a civil statute, not a criminal statute, doesn't matter when you're dealing with lawfare. They don't play by the rules. So when you're in a corrupt system, you need to adopt different tactics. But there's good news all around. And the good news is only going to be better once we get closer to Election Day. If they think they're going to get Donald Trump in prison, they've got another thing coming. I'm Timothy Shea. This is The Reckoning. Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all the major social platforms, including Facebook, X, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Digging deeper into the news.
It's the topics that matter to me.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
On Thursday morning, former Trump attorney Sidney Powell accepted a plea bargain in Fulton County, pleading guilty to 7 counts related to election interference in the 2020 presidential election in Georgia. Here with the story, joining me now is TNT Radio news producer Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus.
Oh, thanks, Timothy. I'm actually getting conflicting reports. I'm not 100% sure if it's 7 or 6.
It was six originally charged. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's what I've got here. All right. So,
Here's the thing. No? I'm sorry to interrupt. She was charged with 6 felonies. She's pled guilty to 1 misdemeanor, as I understand it.
Okay. See, I'm totally getting
there's been bouncing
reports
all day long. And I'm sorry I stole your thunder a little bit in my intro.
Oh, crap. No worries. So I don't know. I guess the idea is that this deal did not require, allegedly, supposedly, all the reports at least say this, that this does not require her to plead guilty to the racketeering charge. That's correct. The one that she and the 18 co-defendants, including Trump, were indicted on October 14th. So this has to do with, and again, conflicting report. These are misdemeanors, from what I am understanding, that she pled guilty to. So I'm very confused about all this. So I'm just going to run with this particular report. I'm going to go with the newest one I have in front of me, which is from the Epoch Times. They say the deal did not. I just said that. Sorry. That she was slated to go to trial in a matter of days. Actually, that's true. October 23rd. After demanding a speedy trial that severed her case from all co-defendants except attorney Kenneth Cheesebro, who also demanded a speedy trial. Here we have the right to that in the United States of America. Anyway, the plea came after several attempts to dismiss the charges against her were dismissed. So her request to dismiss was dismissed. There's a lot of dissing going on. That was by Fulton County Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee. Now, she's the second defendant, if you didn't know this, to have accepted a plea deal under Georgia's First Offender Act, which allows first-time offenders in Georgia to avoid a conviction in certain circumstances and the court to withhold adjudication. Scott Hall, a bail bondsman, was the first defendant to accept a plea bargain on September 29th. All defendants were charged with violating the state's Racketeer-Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, RICO. Ms. Powell's additional charges had to do with the removal and use of voting machines in Coffee County. I like the name of that county. The criminal trespass count was changed in the plea bargain. So there was originally 7. So Ms. Powell pleaded guilty to 6 counts instead of, quote, conspiracy to commit intentional interference with election duties, end quote. That's what she officially pled guilty to. Six counts of that. Judge McAfee asks, quote, are you pleading guilty because you agree there is a sufficient factual basis? That is, there are enough facts that support this plea of guilty, end quote. She responded, Ms. Powell, quote, I do, end quote. By entering into the guilty plea, Ms. Powell waived any and all defenses, as well as the right to a trial by jury, right to confront witnesses, and right to counsel. She now has until 12 months from October 19th, that's today, to file a habeas corpus, and until November 5th, always remember the 5th of November, to withdraw her guilty plea. The state offered 12 months for each of those six additional charges to be served on probation consecutively, as well as a fine of $6,000, $2,700 in restitution to the state of Georgia, and I think I heard you mention this, Timothy, an apology letter to the citizens of the state of Georgia, and as well as to testify truthfully in all trials for co-defendants and to not communicate with co-defendants, witnesses, or media until all cases have been closed. That could take a very long time, knowing how slow things move in the judicial system out here. Ms. Powell already provided the apology letter. How nice. And recorded proffer the night before the plea deal hearing in court, and has agreed to turn over additional documents to the prosecutors. Attorney for Ms. Powell, Brian Rafferty, says, quote, the only other issue which I discussed with your honor this morning is a similar issue that came up with Mr. Hall, which is whether or not these offenses are considered crimes of moral turpitude, end quote. Mr. Hall's attorney has specifically requested that they not be documented as such, which would prevent the need for fingerprinting. The judge had noted in both cases that they could make the request on the record, but that it wasn't up to the court to decide. And ultimately, finally, Ms. Powell then swore under oath to testify truthfully for the case until it has been completed for all defendants. Wow. So, yeah, please keep in mind that at least one of these charges, that I think the one that she did not plead guilty to or didn't have to, is the one that we're all keeping an eye on, affecting former President Donald Trump. That is the racketeering charge, I guess. I don't know how this all works. So she's kind of pissed off some people, from what I understand, by doing this, Timothy. So what do you, I know you already talked about it, but do you have any further
analysis? I didn't exhaust the topic. I didn't completely exhaust the topic. Here's the real story. Fox News, former Trump lawyer Sidney Powell pleads guilty in Georgia election interference case. The Epic Times, Sidney Powell pleads guilty in Trump Georgia election case. Something called DNYUZ. Ex-Trump lawyer Sidney Powell pleads guilty in Georgia election interference case. They make it seem like she pled guilty and she admitted to interfering with the elections. And that's not what happened. That's not what happened. And as for her testimony, as I posted on X today, I imagine it's going to go very similarly to the testimony of Frank Pantangeli in Godfather 2. You might remember he was hauled before the Senate hearing to testify against Michael Corleone. And Michael walked in, and who was with Michael but his brother, Frankie Pantangeli's brother, brought all the way from Palermo, Sicily. And he just sat in the back, and all of a sudden, I don't know anything about any godfather. I got my own family, Senator. I'm not a member of any family other than my family. Oh, you know what? I was in the olive oil business with Michael's grandfather, but that was a long time ago. I don't know anything. But we've got a signed affidavit. We have it. And the senator pulls out the affidavit. He said, you said under oath that Michael, you murdered people on the order of Michael Corleone, and you robbed on the order of Michael Corleone. The FBI guys, they said Michael Corleone did this, and Michael Corleone did that. I said, sure, why not? I just told them what they wanted to hear. I have a very strong suspicion that Sidney's testimony is going to go exactly the same way, Adam.
Interesting. And they kind of put basically a by proxy gag order on her now, didn't they? By accepting this plea, right?
Well, they did. And that gag order is enforceable. I think the gag order against President Trump in the New York case is not enforceable. He's actually going to challenge that. He's going to risk contempt of court charges by speaking out, because what will happen is if the court does decide to enforce that, that will give him grounds for what do we have in New York? Oh, yes, interlocutory appeal. So if the judge tries to punish the president for violating the gag order, he can immediately go to the appellate department or appellate division of the Supreme Court, which in New York is the trial court, and have the gag order declared unconstitutional. And if the appellate division won't, he'll take it to the New York State Court of Appeals. And if they won't, he gets to take it to the Supreme Court directly because it arises out of a state matter. So I all in all, this wasn't a bad day for the president at all. But thanks for a great story, Adam. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
You should hear what Steve Hook is talking about.
The story about Kevin McCarthy getting ousted, that'll be gone in a couple of days. But the infight is going to go on. Now, there's a lot of people that are just cheering this on. And this is the message we need to send. And I understand it. I get it. I get the frustration. I get the whole label of, oh, he's a uniparty guy. I don't think that's true, but I get it. He's certainly been around for a while. And, you know, you've been around D.C. for a while, no matter how conservative or how rock solid you are on some of the issues, the stench just kind of starts to get on you. And that certainly happened with McCarthy. He was seen to be willing to work with Democrats. And there's a whole bunch of people, especially conservatives, that, and I'm talking about voters here, that are absolutely sick to death of business as usual. And by the way, this isn't some new phenomenon. Trump was elected because of this phenomenon back in 2016. So there's a lot of people that are just absolutely furious with DC. I am certainly one of them.
Steve Hook and today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
The Light is Britain's far-right conspiracy theory paper spreading hate and vicious lies. No, that's just what the BBC say. The Light is the only national newspaper bringing you the real news and informed opinion on what's really going on today. You can subscribe, order copies, submit articles, and read back issues on our website, thelightpaper.co.uk, and see for yourself why the establishment are so worried about the uncensored truth getting out to people every month. Now they're launching a new service called Wake Up Your Neighbours, where you can get copies delivered to the streets right around you if you don't want to do it yourself. The Light Paper. Not for right. Just right so far. thelightpaper.co.uk.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Dr. Naomi Wolf is an American feminist author, journalist, and served as political advisor to the presidential campaigns of Bill Clinton and Al Gore. She did her undergraduate work in English literature at Yale College before taking her doctorate in poetry at Oxford University, where she was a Rhodes Scholar. After the 1991 publication of her first book, The Beauty Myth, Dr. Wolf became a leading spokeswoman of what has been called the third wave of the feminist movement. Wikipedia, however, now calls Dr. Wolf a conspiracy theorist for her skepticism about the deadly COVID-19 modified RNA gene therapy injections. She's been deplatformed 8 times, but refuses to be silenced. I'd like to welcome back to The Reckoning, Dr. Naomi Wolf.
Hi, nice to see you again.
I'd like to get into discussing Israel in the larger context of the spiritual battle we're facing, but I have to go into the COVID vaccine topic first, because there's been so much lately that you and that Brian O'Shea at Clout, at dailyclout.io have been reporting. They knew, Naomi, they knew. And they covered it up.
There's no more polite way to say it than what you just said. Your audience may know that Daily Clout and War Room collaborated to have 3,250 doctors and scientists and nurses and biostatisticians and medical fraud investigators and lab clinicians, various experts, who volunteered to go through the Pfizer documents released under court order, tens of thousands of documents that the FDA asked the court to keep hidden for 75 years. And The court refused. And so now we have these documents, and our team has been producing reports. We now have 89 reports that anyone can read. They're on our site. They're free. But the most recent ones are they're all truly shocking. But this is shocking in a whole new way, because one of our volunteer lawyers named Ed Berkovich FOIA'd, meaning sent a Freedom of Information Act request to the CDC for everything related to myocarditis. And what he got back was a series of emails that show that everyone at the top, Dr. Walensky, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Collins, Xavier Becerra, the Surgeon General, and the whole communications team at the White House, the president's office, knew by April of 2021 that these injections were causing heart damage and blood clots. And instead of coming clean with the American people and pulling them off the market, they created a script, their words, which is totally redacted, of 17 slides. You can't see any of them. And they doubled down, as you recall, all of 2021. It wasn't just safe and effective. It was mandates. It was school mandates. It was mandates to keep your job. And they knew. But the most recent tranche of emails, which is the third FOIA release, is just mind-blowing. It's up on our site. It's Report 89. And it shows all these evildoers with Dr. Rachel Levine kind of directing mm-hmm. the activity. And again, Dr. Walensky, Dr. Fauci, Vivek Murthy, the Surgeon General, and a template for POTUS. And POTUS stands, of course, for President of the United States. So the president is also looped in. And what they're discussing is that the American Association of Pediatricians had warned them that vaccines were causing heart damage in teenagers, and that myocarditis was very serious and needed to be managed continually by a whole medical team. And it didn't just resolve, and it wasn't mild. It was a very, very dangerous and sometimes deadly condition.
It's lifelong heart damage.
Exactly. And you know, people are dropping dead from it, as we see. You know, young, healthy athletes are dropping dead. So instead, again, of stopping everything, you see in these emails that they're colluding and conspiring to cover it up. But you also see, and this is the first tranche of emails that shows that President Biden knew by April of 2021 that teens' hearts were being damaged by these injections. But you also see things like Dr. Walensky in the middle of a conversation about deadly damage to the hearts of innocent teenagers. She's chatting with a colleague about Dr. Paul Offit, who's kind of attractive, I guess, and she's got a blushy, smiley emoticon that she's a fan of his and an admirer, blushy, smiley emoticon. So she finds time to flirt, while she's having this horrific discussion about kids having horrible damage to their hearts as a result of these injections. It's monstrous.
I think that was the most ghoulish revelation of all of them, how glib and seemingly unaffected by all of the horrors that they were discussing.
Right.
And we keep saying that this can never happen again. This must be punished. But I don't see any of these people facing punishment, at least on this earth.
No. I mean, we're really trying. And I just want to second what you said. I mean, people have got to read these emails for themselves, and they're all pinned in this Report 89. It is that's the tone. It's like we're in the lounge area of Club Med, chatting about what to have for brunch. I mean, that's what these people sound like while the news is coming to them over the phone, because they don't want a paper trail of this injection, which is now 5 months out, in people's arms, injuring healthy teenagers and possibly killing them. And remember 2021, they 2021 was the year that they rolled out influencers on TikTok and brought pop culture figures to the White House and
deplatformed people like you and me.
Exactly. But specifically teenagers and parents, they had, the dancing vaccine syringes, comedy shows, they targeted teens, and they targeted teens, and they said it's your teen is more at risk from COVID than from, you know, this injection, and it's, you know, myocarditis.
Which was a complete lie.
Total lie. I think AI was already deployed at that time, because in 2021, all over the world, when you saw the word myocarditis, you would see the word rare or mild next to it. And they just knew it was a lie. And again, they mandated it. They allowed states to mandate it in schools, and they knew that they were going to kill some kids and injure others, you know, permanently. They knew it. And they were, you know, completely blasé, and even found time to select flirty emoticons.
Yeah, and that's not the only revelation that was shocking in that tranche. We also learned that they never conducted any studies. At least in later injections, they cited a study of 8 lab mice, all of which died. But at least they did that study. They didn't report the results. But they didn't do any studies at all on these jabs before they rolled out the fact that they were safe and effective when they were neither.
It's extraordinary. I mean, my team has done incredible work showing the funny math and ridiculous non-science that got us to an emergency use authorization. I mean,
you just said the magic words, and I want to dig into that after the news. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
Here we go again.
All right, let's go.
TNT Radio News.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Sidney Powell, a former lawyer for Donald Trump, has made a sudden guilty plea to charges of conspiring to overturn the results of the 2020 U.S. presidential election. As part of her sentencing, she was spared jail time and instead received 6 months probation. Japan could increase the cost of public transport to try and combat overtourism, as Britons in Japan could soon be faced with new bans and rules to follow.
We wear the PPE and wade through the muck so you don't have to. Never miss our thought-provoking take on the latest news and current affairs. Take TNT Radio wherever you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio, or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Naomi, as we discussed last time, my background is in biology. I was in a doctoral program, and I saw where both science, you know, big science and university life was headed, and I decided to go into business instead. No. I saw early on, I was out in April and in June of 2020 warning about the planned injections. Because I understood mRNA technology and understood what could possibly go wrong. And unfortunately, everything I said was possible ended up happening and more. But you just said, if you'll remember 2021, it's like, oh, I remember it very well. We were called science deniers. We were called anti-science. We were basically called domestic terrorists, sometimes overtly domestic terrorists. When we were the ones actually following the science, and right. It was the ones that were working at the speed of science, which is not even a thing.
What is it? That's not a thing. Yeah. Right?
The speed of science is actually very, very, very slow. By design. But these people, and you just said it, they were against it, working against the science.
I mean, there's, you know, my team has found that there was, like, you can't even call it science. For instance, there's a section of the Pfizer documents where there's an 80% miscarriage rate. And you only know that because there are 36 women whose pregnancies were followed to term and 80% of them lost their babies. But the 234 women who also got pregnant, their records were lost, which is illegal. Yeah. So we don't know if it was an even higher miscarriage rate.
The same person responsible for that had custody of those records was responsible for maintaining the video cameras when Whitey Bulger was being transferred between prisons and when Jeffrey Epstein was in the Manhattan lockup. I think it's the same guy.
It's the same methodology for sure. I mean, Pfizer got to the conclusion that the vaccines were 95% effective by simply dropping 200 vaccinated people with COVID from their math, like, you know, leaving five at, compared to like over 100 unvaccinated people with COVID. I mean, that's the kind of thing they did throughout. And I've talked probably on your show, certainly as much as I can everywhere, about the fact that in addition to the injuries at massive scale in these documents that they knew about, neurological injuries, dementias, Alzheimer's, strokes, blood clot problems, blood clots, lung clots, leg clots, Guillain-Barré, Bell's palsy. Interestingly, joint pain is the number one side effect. So much arthritis, people having, you know, joints replaced and so on, people just crippled. A million people have self-identified as disabled in 1 month in August, according to Ed Dowd in America. But in addition to all of this, and the 1,225 deaths and the people who died, you know, within 48 hours of the injection, and the fact that one of our latest bombshells showed that Pfizer delayed reporting the deaths so that they could get to the EUA, right, illegally, unlawfully. In addition to all of that, there's a complete 360-degree attack on human reproduction, and it's especially on women's fertility. And, well, that's what got me deplatformed in 2021, which is the subject of my new book, Facing the Beast, when I warned that women were reporting menstrual problems upon getting the injection. And sure enough, it, you know, menstrual problems in 2021 foretells fertility problems in 2023, and that's what we're seeing: a 13-20% drop in live births, especially in the West. A million missing babies, live births in Western Europe, and horrible problems that I won't even go into unless you want me to. That women especially are suffering related to their ovaries, their fallopian tubes, their placentas.
Calling them menstruation problems is putting too high a gloss on it. Women were having their entire uterine lining was deforming and being expelled whole, which never happens. And it turns out that the spike protein is conformationally similar to a protein called syncytin 2, which is integral in building up that uterine lining and also in developing the placenta. And so the antibodies that were directed against the spike protein were self-directed against pregnant women's placentas. And now we know that this was a lab designed virus. This is modified RNA. This is artificially urinated messenger RNA that persists for much longer than RNA persists naturally in our bodies. It's starting to look as though this was an intentional depopulation effort.
I don't think you can avoid that. I'll add to that the evidence, you know, in that part of the scale. My independent reporting found that BioNTech had entered into an MOU, which is a memorandum of understanding, like creating a partnership with Fosun Pharmaceuticals, which is a gigantic Chinese Communist Party run Chinese pharma company. And so it's run by CCP officials, high officials. And so they produced a billion doses, not for use inside of China, but for export. China opened 14 manufacturing plants in Western Europe and two in the United States. And according to the SEC filing in 2021, 100% of the IP of the BioNTech injection, which is Pfizer's injection, was transferred. It doesn't say to a Chinese individual, to a Chinese company. It says to China. So there's no way to, you know, if you understand anything about geopolitics, there's no way to conclude that the virus isn't a bioweapon, and there's no way now to there's no way not to conclude that the virus is a bioweapon. And I believe there's no way not to conclude that this mRNA injection is a bioweapon. And the effect is depopulation and disabling and killing of, you know, think of who got mandated: our soldiers, our sailors, our pilots, our teachers, our college students, all of the, you know, the next generation, all of the people you need to have a functioning society. And exactly, as Ed Dowd, he said, like, you know, add to that, and I'm the daughter of immigrants, granddaughter of immigrants, I believe in legal immigration, add to that the millions of people flowing across the border, many of them, you know, well, one of our commentators, J.J. Carroll, is a border agent. He's talking about how he's never seen so many terrorist-aligned immigrants, aliens, allowed to cross and then vanishing into the interior. Basically, Ed Dowd said, you know, just wait 5 years. I mean, this is war by attrition. You know, the population will completely have changed to one in which people don't remember democracy.
And unfortunately, I think that's where we're headed. And just to put a bow on that, all of those illegal aliens, the tens of millions that have flowed over the last 3 years, none of them were required to be vaccinated. I had somebody facing firing if they didn't get jabbed. And they asked what I suggested. And I said, either find another job or fly down to Mexico, walk back and say, hola, yo soy aquí. Because you're better off as an illegal coming through the southern border than as a United States citizen if you want to avoid poisoning yourself with these genetic therapy injections. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
Climate change is truly becoming a religion. Wait till you get a load of this.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
In 2023, Time Magazine called for, quote, the case for making Earth Day a religious holiday. Not to be left out, the Washington Post featured a religious theologian, Susan Brooks Thistlewaite, urging us to, quote, repent for our sin of causing bad weather due to the, quote, moral evil of climate change denial. On the pages of the New York Times, New York Times warmest activist Paul Krugman added, quote, those who deny global warming, may you be punished in the afterlife for doing so. Krugman goes on to call climate denial a, quote, almost inconceivable sin. So there you have it. Climate change is a new religion as supported by our mainstream corporate media, or more accurately, a climate cult. Reject the climate emergency. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
I tell my son, I love you every single day. Now, my dad has never said that to me. Not because he doesn't love me, but because culturally it wasn't comfortable for him. Now that he's a grandfather, he says, I love you to my son every time he sees him. My advice to all the fathers out there, forget the cultural restrictions. They grow up way too fast for you to waste even a single precious moment.
Welcome to The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Dr. Wolf, I was going to comment that we're no longer in a left versus right political spectrum anymore. We're in an up versus down. We're in a them versus us. We've got people on the left like yourself, like Bobby Kennedy Jr., people on the right like President Trump, who nailed it early on, calling it the Wuhan virus, which they said was racist. It was a lab created virus, which they said was crazy. It's people all over the from both ends of the political spectrum, the old political spectrum, recognizing the truth and speaking the truth and suffering for it. We just heard in the Morano Minute that they're doing the same thing with climate. Just as, you know, I was up in Stowe, Vermont last week, and I flew out of Burlington down to New York City for a testimonial dinner we were attending. And my Uber driver to the airport, got into a conversation with him. I asked him, you know, what was going on in Burlington. He said, well, you know, it's a great town, but homelessness is way up in the last 2 years and drug abuse is off the charts. I said, really, what's the reason for that? And he said, well, we vote for liberal politics here or policies here. And he goes, I do it myself. But we've created a housing situation where instead of going to Miami where it's warm, they can come to Burlington because we give homeless people housing. And we voted to defund the police. And so the crime and the drugs are way up. And I said, okay, I'm going to ask you this question, and I'm not being confrontational. I genuinely want to know the answer. At what point will the social pain you're feeling cause you to change your voting habits? And he said, never. And I said, oh, really? And then Donald Trump came on. He said, well, here's your boy. And I said, actually, this is kind of my guy. And I pulled out a Kennedy 2024 hat because I love trolling Democrats with the Kennedy hat. And he goes, oh, you must be an anti-vaxxer. And I said, actually, no. I'm fully vaxxed and fully boosted. with actual vaccines. But when you have to change the definition of what a vaccine is to push out a genetic therapy injection as a vaccine, I said, that's where I draw the line. And he thought I was just some sort of wacko.
But
more and more people, though, are waking up and seeing that, you know, no, we're not anti-vaxxers. No, we're not climate deniers. I mean, what a ridiculous even idea to throw at somebody that you're a climate denier. Nobody denies that there's climate. That's really the propaganda war that we're fighting. And I want to tie in this horrific attack by Hamas on Israel. Within hours, we started seeing propaganda from both sides. We saw green screen images of Palestinians that seemed to be walking without legs. They were just floating in the air because it was all green screened. We've seen video of a fake bomb, a car bomb going off when, you know, someone, I don't know why they would even do this. They stood back and, you know, the car bomb exploded and then all these people ran in and pretended that they were hit by the car bomb. And then all of a sudden the ambulance pulls up and they start pulling the people off. And you can see it's a propaganda film. And on the other side as well. And how can we possibly move forward as a culture and make rational decisions when we can't even trust with AI, especially when we can't even trust what we're seeing with our own eyes?
I mean, it's the question of our time, you know, in addition to just survival from the attack that, you know, you and I were just discussing. I wrote a book called The End of America in 2008 in the Bush era. And I warned that America could lose our liberties and that one of the steps in a soft coup, you know, that I had learned from looking at other times and places where democracies have been subverted or overcome by tyrannies, was the stage at which people can't tell what truth from falsehood. And that, you know, that happened in the Soviet Union. It's happened around the world where, you know, where tyranny flourishes. And that's where we're at. And it's very, very dangerous. I mean, as a journalist, I can't believe, like, I have to pinch myself every day that, you know, a handful of volunteers and Amy Kelly, my COO, and I are doing the kind of investigative reporting on these documents that the Washington Post and the New York Times should be doing. Like, we shouldn't be doing this, you know, in our guest bed. Where are these major news organizations with all of their resources and reporters and copy editors and, you know, AWOL. And by the same token, I can't believe that, you know, and I write about this in Facing the Beast, my new book, I can't believe that all these legacy media outlets took the money and became stenographers for bad administrations and bad corporations and stopped asking questions and hounded the people who acted like journalists or scientists or doctors and kept asking questions. It's hard to believe. And then, yes, you're quite right to add AI. I mean, I had this weird experience, which I describe in my book, of my overnight, every bio around the world of mine, including on Wikipedia, changed in exactly the same way. And conspiracy theorist became the first, you know, term. Doesn't matter that I was a Rhodes Scholar, went to Yale, went to Oxford, advised vice president, all of that was subordinated to conspiracy theorist. And it happened all at once. So at the time, I was just spooked. I didn't realize AI is now, you know, a factor in generating text in journalism. And now also, as you point out, you know, AI and CGI and just, you know, fake videos, fake graphics, repurposed images from other wars, other countries, they're all entering our news stream. That's like social media is very liberating in some ways, but a downside of the death of journalism is you don't have an editor, you know, either in the real newspapers, which aren't real anymore, or on social media saying, you can't use this picture. It's from, you know, Chechnya in, you know, a million years ago, right? It's not Gaza in 2023 or whatever.
I do love, though, I love what Elon has done with X by implementing community notes. because I have seen, we've seen so many instances of government propagandists and government propagandists in the media pushing out a false narrative, and bam, Community Notes is on them like white on rice.
No, it's really good, but you know, at the same time, who's writing the exegesis, right? I mean, Daily Clout, my completely accurate fact-based news site, has been called a right-wing conspiracy theory tinfoil hat news site by Snopes and other fact checkers, right? There's a whole fact checking now, which is heavily funded.
The two Snopes guys that are still in their mommy's basement.
Gosh knows, do they even exist? So I guess my point is,
you just make an excellent point though. We're getting to the point where Snopes and fact check and Politicheck, they might actually be AI. And there's no way of ever knowing that they're not.
They could well. And when you finally track down a human, you know, journalist, it turns out that she's 12 years old and just graduated from, you know, fashion design school. I mean, It's like it's not real journalists anymore, certainly not humans. So I guess where I want to go with all of this is it's a vertiginous new reality, but the first step for us is to recognize that's our reality. And that's why alternative media is so important, and why, like, you know, your show, my show, it's wonderful that people are finding, you know, trusted independent news sources and checking for themselves. I do think people are learning to be reporters and researchers for themselves and verify good sourcing. That's good. But like, just think about Israel or climate change or Ukraine or whatever, like the channel is changing to globally. We've got to stop being so reactive, especially when the atrocity images, like there's this, I wrote an essay on it on my Substack. There's this like amygdala activation when you see, you know, women and children being mistreated. And Americans especially have this tendency to go, you know, liquidate them, you know, flatten them. And, you know, we did it after 9/11.
Nikki Haley.
Right, exactly. And so everyone just has to calm down and recognize that there's, you know, like fire hoses of propaganda on both sides, on all sides. And we all just need to calm down, verify, listen to everybody, and really pay attention to international law, especially the international rules of warfare, and not go crazy just feeding civilians on both sides into meat grinders.
Exactly. And also playing into this is Operation Mockingbird, which is still ongoing, even though the church committee ended it. There's that great video of a headshot, a newsreader reading a script. And then it goes to a two shot. There's two heads. And then it goes to four and then to 16 and then on and on. And they're all saying the same words throughout the video from beginning to end. And it's like, you know, from local news broadcasts across this country, like you can't tell me that people aren't getting that 4 a.m. email.
Oh, I've seen it. I mean, during the Bush era, I remember being in the Fox News studios and I saw on people's screens, I wasn't peeking, but their screens were right there. You know, those old school consoles. It was talking points from the White House, and they were going to all the screens at the same time. It's not a left versus right thing, as you so rightly said at the beginning of this show. It's, you know, as you pointed out, it's us versus them. It's the, you know, the globalists who are trying to subjugate us all versus everybody. Right. But at that time, it was the Bush administration, and they were just feeding the talking points. And then you'd hear the talking points on the stage, you know, coming from the journalist. Scary.
It is scary. And, you know, I think one of the things that people have realized over the last, certainly the last 5 years, but maybe even the last 10 years, is that neither party has a monopoly on good ideas. You know, the left was certainly right about the lies that Colin Powell told about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq and other things. But the right has some good ideas, too. You know, we need to get our brothers and sisters on the left maybe to listen to those ideas. But I think people now are more willing to step outside the paradigm and realize that, wait a second. And it's not even government that's the enemy, because as Bobby has shown with FDA and CDC, regulatory capture, it's not just regulatory capture, it's policy capture. Western governments are almost wholly owned subsidiaries of major multinational corporations now.
That's happened. You're right. That's where we're at. I mean, it's up to us to, gosh, redeem, refresh, reclaim the democratic process, because the last 3 years have completely hollowed them out. I mean, they're about to have a referendum in Australia that will, you know, alter their constitution. Their parliament was put on hold during the lockdowns. In Britain, I see the interior of the House of Commons and nobody's there, you know, like literally nobody's right there. I mean, these are not, you know, having worked in or around a White House, none of this messaging is accidental. You know, the way that President Biden looks at his watch during military funerals or forgets to say God bless the United States of America, you know, at the end of every speech, that's not accidental. All these things are highly scripted. And all around the world, we're being messaged that our democratic institutions are really meaningless, or that the elites have no need to answer to everybody else. So it's up to us to really rise up peacefully and make sure that they can't get away with it. And there are very important ways to do that. For instance, my site, Daily Clout, also has something called BillCam, where you can find any state or federal bill. And we've been very effective at, for instance, passing 33 no vaccine passport and the mandates, open schools now, no lockdowns, no emergency law model bills. That was really effective. We could be France now or Italy, where people really had to show their vaccine passport in order to just travel. But people can do that at every level. I mean, it's easier to change legislation at a state level than federally, but people, you know, have to stop waiting for their representatives or their assembly members to do it for them. We've got to do it for ourselves.
In 2019, I stood up MAGA Institute with my partner, Brooke McGowan, and our idea was first to not endorse any candidates, but we would vet them and certify that, you know, they will agree to legislate or govern, depending on the office, according to America First principles, securing our border and, you know, the good principles, the principles that we thought were good. But more importantly, the real mission was to inspire people to get up off their duff. And I would tell people, and I do to this day, now is not the time to throw up your hands in frustration. Right. Now is the time to roll up your sleeves and get to work. We were touting school board way before school board became sexy. But it's like, get active locally. Know personally your state senator and your state representative, because they're going to be most responsive to you, much more than your U.S. senator, certainly, and even your congressman in a lot of instances. And you really try to empower people that we can affect change, but we can only do it if enough of us do it.
That's very inspiring. I can't wait to find out more about it. Sounds like a really effective model.
Well, we think so. And we've gotten some good people. So we've supported some good people. We've outed some people. We had to pull a couple of certifications because, you know, people didn't keep their promises. One man who will remain nameless, but astute politicos can connect the dots. He swore up and down that his fourth term was going to be his last term, that he was going back to his real life job. And lo and behold, he ran for the Senate and he's now a United States Senator. Surprise, surprise, surprise.
You know, when you were describing what your kind of criteria were, I was just thinking, and I talk about this a lot in Facing the Beast, the representation to those of us, I don't think I'm on the left anymore. I'm an independent, but you know, MAGA is represented to us as these like naked people painted blue and screaming, you know, like barbaric, you know,
and it is kind of inspiring, but that's not who we are.
That's the fun of hanging out with all of you, but seriously, they're represented as, you know, hate-filled, misogynistic, racist, you know, homophobes. I mean, all the phobes, right? And I just love your list, because like when I actually got to have conversations with people who were MAGA, it's like, huh, a border, You know, that's a sane thing for a country to have. Right. Putting our own country first. Why is that radical? How is that radical? That's patriotism. And it's also basic good self-interest and common sense. None of the bullet points you've listed are terrifying. They're all very, very reasonable. And I do
I'm
wish
happy
there was
to hear that. Stuff. And I'd love to have you back on soon because we need to have more time to talk. This conversation could easily go another couple of hours and I would be fascinated with it. But we're going to have to cut it off there. Naomi Wolf, thank you so much for your time tonight. Look forward to talking to you again. You can find Dr. Wolf at Naomi R. Wolf, W-O-L-F, on X and at the amazing site, dailyclout.io. She and her husband, Brian, and the rest of their team are doing phenomenal work. Check out dailyclout.io. There's a treasure trove of information you're going to need to be able to talk to your friends and neighbors. That's it for tonight's Reckoning on TNT Radio. Stay tuned for the Javorier Moritz Show. I'm Timothy Shea. Until next time, God bless you. God bless these United States. Keep fighting the good fight.